in prisoner's chair with bleeding strength. Paul and Silas pray that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in the prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Defy, yes, defy those chains, and you will fall. Amen. They will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. Yes, I bless your name, O Lord. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so high, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. Amen. Amen. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you praise. You are the life. Yes, you are the life for me, O Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. Amen. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Down from his glory, ever living star, yes, Lord, and Savior came. And Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrow, tears and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my bread, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator, he became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not faint inside, God gracious tender laid aside this splendor, stopping to vote, to win, to say, yes, to save my soul. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my bread, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator, he became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. Without reluctant, flesh and blood is substance. He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my bread, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator, he became my Savior. All God's fullness dwelleth in him. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming forth to carry me home. angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Sing, Lord, sing, chariot, coming for to carry me home. Sing, sing, chariot, coming for to carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming to carry me home, tell all my friends I am coming to, coming for to carry me home. Sing, Lord, sing, child, coming for to carry me home. Sing, Lord, sing, child, coming for to carry me. Sing, Lord, sing, Lord, sing, Lord, sing, child, to carry me home. Sing, Lord, sing, coming for to carry me home.
Morning, saints. God bless you this morning. Is this working now? I think we'll have to use this one here. God bless you, saints. Amen. We do greet you this morning. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. I'm very happy to be here. Amen. I know there's some people who wouldn't be happy to be. I know somebody was saying it yesterday. Just when there's a possibility you're not going to have service, you find there's certain people will be happy. But friends, one thing, a true believer, you never want to have a holiday from the Lord. Amen. It's good to go away, have a holiday, refresh yourself in your body. But I think for a believer, you'd never ever want to be away from His presence and His fellowship. We really do appreciate being here today. Amen. So strange the way things work. You know, we'd made plans with the brothers, Brother Will, Brother Dave, everybody, to move everything on Friday. We'd hired, got a van, got storage space. We managed to get another church to use for today. Then Brother Virgus said that he could get a van yesterday instead of, so we wouldn't have to pay any money. So we said, oh, this is really good. So we just were a bit worried. We said, but what is the landlord going to say? Because if we come in on yesterday, which is the 1st of August, we're officially not supposed to be here anymore. So Brother Virgus took some of the valuable equipment on Friday night just in case we're locked out. And then when we came, when the saints came yesterday to move, that's when the landlord phoned to say, hey, you know, you don't have to move. You can wait a few more weeks. Amen. And I said, it's so wonderful how things work, because we could have moved on Friday. That was our plans. You know, I was thinking about what it was like with the Lord Jesus Christ when He was buried. And the people made all of their plans. You know, Mary Magdalene and them, they bought all their spices and they brought all of the things and they came on the resurrection morning. And they had their intention, they had their thoughts about how things should be done for the Lord. And they got there and they found out it was all unnecessary. When they got there, they found out that, hey, He's risen. He had already made His own plans. So we really do appreciate being here today. Let the Lord's will be done in the days ahead. Let's pray for Brother Pele, Sister Lily, traveling to Paris on Thursday. And they're asking for prayer. Good to see Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia. May the Lord bless them back in His house once again. Brother George is working as well. Brother Jonathan from Switzerland texted me this morning just to say that they finished the meetings yesterday. Everything went well with the young people. So today they're gathering in the church. They're with with Brother Franz Alipika. They all stayed at his house yesterday. So Brother Jonathan was saying everything went well. Let's open our Bibles, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read the first four verses. Just to get a real important principle once again. Matthew 4, 1-4. You know, the prophet says that many times you find when the prophet comes to preach, he says, no, there's many things you could say that could be interesting to people. There's many things you can say that maybe can be exciting to people, but what you'd really desire is to say something that stays with people, that helps people. Good to see Sister Deirdre, Brother Brian again as well. God bless you. Matthew 4, the first four verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's also read Hebrews chapter 3. When Paul is looking back to Israel in the wilderness, that was Jesus, his temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3, we're looking back to Jesus, to the children of Israel. And Paul, under the inspiration, is warning the believers, the Hebrew believers, based on the experience of what had happened in the wilderness. And he says in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So Paul calls it the provocation. There was a provocation in the wilderness. They provoked the Lord in the wilderness. He says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Let's just put this before the Lord. Father, we pray first of all to thank you that you've given us privilege once again to come to this place. Father, surely our days and our times are in your hands. Father, you're never too early, you're never too late. But Father, you have all things in your hands. And we thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we trust you because you are the one that has been so mindful in days gone by. That's why, Father, so gladly we'd come upon this day to lay our tomorrows into your hands as well. Knowing, Lord, there's no safer hands that they could be in. Just keep us at peace as we rest in thee, that day by day we may be faithful to you, in the line of duty to serve you, that if there'd come a Red Sea, it would become your responsibility, Lord. Father, we thank you to see brothers and sisters back from holiday, brothers and sisters back from different places. Father, we do pray and thank you for that, Lord. Praying once again for the meeting in Switzerland this day. Bless the saints as they would gather there. We ask, Lord, and them that are at work, I do pray, Lord, for Brother George, be with him. And even as I'd go for holiday this week, bless them on the holiday as well. Father, Sister Lily, Brother Pele, Father, praying for your traveling mercies. Father, your rich spiritual blessings upon them as I'd go to Paris. Lord, Father, let it be a physical and a spiritual rest. Father, achieve a purpose. Do something for your glory, we'd pray. And even your word, as we fellowship around it now, let it become the bread of life unto us. Because, Lord, we're trusting in thee. Bless your people gathering from the north, south, east, and west. Father, your bride, Lord, we bless them upon this day because we know that we shall be blessed. Father, we wait on you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. I just want to take that thought which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of when he said, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, and just the thought behind this is, you know, I was looking at this provocation in the wilderness. You know, you read in Hebrews chapter 3 and you find that these people had gone far. They'd been baptized in the Red Sea. They'd eaten of the manna. Now, there were many, many things that the children of Israel experienced. By the grace of God, God had called them out. God had sent them a prophet. God had sent them a pillar of fire. Now, that great privilege, these people. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. You know, and I was really thinking of that because, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to learn from these examples. So, you want to look and you want to learn. You want to see, but what was it that really displeased the Lord? Because I'm sure you and I don't want to make the same mistake. We don't want to fall in the same pit that they fell in. I mean, what's the purpose? Why would God allow these things to happen in days and times gone by and record it in His Word and give it unto us, and then we go and make the same mistakes. But it would be better that if we could glean the virtue and the revelation, that if we could really get into the Spirit and understand what it is that caused these people to perish in the wilderness, you know, then seek the grace of God, you know, learn from the mistakes they made. And the people that made it through, Joshua and Caleb, there was something different about them. So we want to emulate them because that's our shadow and that's our type. You know, we know that God is no respecter of persons. Now, God doesn't judge situations on an individual basis in that way. You know, God doesn't respect you ahead of anybody else. But God is a God of principle. You know, that if you follow certain principles, if you approach Him a certain way, you're going to get the same results that people approached Him in that way before. So, you know, it's nothing to do with the generations that passed. On Wednesday, we saw that He is faithful to 1,000 generations. You know, according to His covenant. So, you know, these aren't things to do with the change of society, the change of days, the change of the ages. That's got nothing to do with it. Now, our personal relationship with Him, this is a personal thing. This is something which is based on certain principles, important principles in His Word. And, you know, when I read about this wilderness, I went and I saw that the Lord Jesus Christ, He studied the wilderness journey of Israel as well. You'll see it so clearly because if you look in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus answers the devil, imagine Jesus is in the wilderness and He's hungry, yeah? And the devil comes to Him in the wilderness and says, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus answers using the scripture, and the scripture He uses is, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, if you go and trace it back, you're going to find this is Exodus 16. This is when Israel are in the wilderness and they come to Moses because they're hungry. And they say, there's nothing to eat in this place. Did you bring us into this place to perish? And it became a temptation to them. And the devil came to them in that situation just as much as he came to Jesus in his situation. But the difference was Jesus had a revelation. That every temptation can only be overcome by the spoken word bread. That's how you overcome a situation. Nothing else can help you to overcome. The only thing that helps you to overcome is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, it's not the historical word that helps you to overcome. It's what God says about you now. That in your current situation, Jesus found the word, the spoken word. He found that spoken word bread, that which had proceeded from the mouth of God, exactly for his situation. And that gave him the overcoming power. That gave him the prevailing power. That gave him the wisdom. That gave him the spiritual understanding to overcome in his day. But Israel in their day, they also had a similar situation. They came to the stage that they needed food, they were hungry, that these natural needs had come into a season of temptation. It was a trial that the Lord had led them into. And just as much as Israel was led into the wilderness to be tempted, the Bible says that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. So this wasn't something which was just a mistake or, you know, something that went wrong to Israel in the wilderness, or that this was just the devil trying to, you know, take an opportunity in the situation with Jesus. But in both situations, they were led of the Spirit. The pillar of fire led the children of Israel to this situation so that He could prove them, so that He could find out. Because every temptation, the word temptation in the Bible comes from a word which means to prove or to try somebody's character. So it's a test. You know, and there's nothing wrong with being tested or being tempted. God tests people. Because He has the right motive. Because when God tests you, He wants to prove your character. God wants to bring something out of you. You know, God wants to achieve something through you through that test. God wants to reveal something of Himself and maybe something that you didn't know about yourself. Because we look at trials and we think, I could never go through with that. You'll be surprised. Because whatever God leads you to, there's a seed in you that has the ability to overcome it. Because God will never lead His sons and daughters into any situation that you can't overcome. Because the scripture says He'll never put upon you a temptation which is too hard for you to bear. But He will, with that situation, give you a way of escape. You know, so if you are in the Spirit and you are face up to these seasons of trial, these testings in the right spirit, they become testimonies. They become stepping stones. They become something that makes him more real and establishes you in the kingdom of God deeper. But Satan, being an opportunist, he wants to take advantage in these situations as well. So he wants to come in like he did to the children of Israel. And he wants to get people to murmur and to complain and to say, is God among us? And all those kind of things like the children of Israel did. And then that trial became a temptation. That thing which should have been for furtherance in their walk with God, a further step towards them inheriting the promised land, instead became something that took them a step back, that provoked the Lord, that grieved the Lord, because he didn't want them to think that way. He didn't want them to react that kind of a way. But they got the wrong spirit upon them in the time of temptation. And Jesus knew that. You know, and that's why Jesus, before he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, he was fasting 40 days, 40 nights. Now, before the great temptation came, he was prepared. He came from the baptism in Jordan. He was filled with the Spirit. He went with anointing upon him, and he stayed in that spiritual condition. And that's no matter what the devil came to him to do, to say, you can change the situation. You don't have to go through with this. He comes and says to him, you hungry? He said, yes, you've been led of the Lord into this situation of need, because Jesus was led into this place that he was hungry. It was the will of God for him to be in that condition, to be tempted, to be so something could be revealed. But Satan always comes at those times, friends, and wants to show you a shortcut. He wants to show you that you don't have to go through with this. You can fix the situation now. Just turn these stones into bread. But Jesus realized the most important thing in any trial isn't the outward man. The most important thing in any trial isn't listening to anything else. But the only thing that's important in a season of trial is the spoken word bread. Is what comes out from the mouth of God. And that's what Jesus was looking at. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. I know I can fix the situation myself. I can change it right now if I want. But it's my Father that's led me into this situation. And there's a purpose. And there's a reason. And he wants me to pass through this trial. I can circumvent it. Yes, I have the power myself. But that's not what my life is governed by. My life is governed by every word that proceeds from his mouth. And friends, that's the bride. The bride wants to be governed by every word. And that's why he puts us in seasons of trial. We see the great trial around the bride at this time. The people murmuring against the prophet, just like they did in the wilderness. People complaining and saying, this man brought us into wilderness but couldn't take us into the promised land. That's what they're doing, friends. They're saying this message, yes, the prophet, he brought us so far, but now we've got to have something new to take us into the promised land. It's the same season of temptation. Always before you come to the fullness of the promise, God leads his people, including the Lord Jesus Christ, into temptation in the wilderness. And that is the tempting time. That is the testing time. The prophet, when he speaks of it in ever-present water from the rock, he says, he taken them out through the Red Sea. So they were baptized just like Jesus was baptized, and then straight into the wilderness. He says he taken them through the Red Sea and into the wilderness journey, which means the time of testings. You know, so the moment you baptize, the moment you receive the Holy Ghost, the moment you start, now there's these junctions that it takes us into that are very important junctions. Not just at the beginning of your walk, but there's going to be certain seasons of trial, certain seasons of testing, certain junctions which you find in the journey. And you've got to be careful how you navigate those junctions. And those are the times where I think it's good to go back and look at those who were before us. Look in the first Exodus, you'll find it. Look in the second Exodus, you find it. And you're going to find similar conditions in our day. And the prophet says, when a fellow receives Christ as his Savior, everything is on the housetop. So Israel, they come through the Red Sea, and there's Miriam, and she's beating the tambourine. And you know, they're having a Holy Ghost meeting on the banks of the Red Sea. It's wonderful. You know, you're rejoicing. The prophet says the birds are singing. It's like, ah, this victory is going to go on forever. It doesn't. Because immediately from that, the pillar of fire led them into the wilderness. Amen. Straight to Marah, where there was no water. Straight to a place where they got thirsty in the wilderness. Straight from this time of rejoicing, this time of victory. The Lord leads them. the pillar of fire. The Bible actually says it was the commandment of the Lord. They followed the commandment of the Lord, the leadership of the pillar of fire, right into a time of testing. Where God wanted to establish something in them. God wanted to reveal something to them, but Satan wanted to take advantage as well. And friends, there were two different reactions in these kind of trials. So the prophet says everything's on the housetop, but before this man can come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before you can come to your position in Christ, he says, this person must first have a sanctifying process. So there's got to be a purging time. And you know the purpose of the wilderness. The wilderness has got one purpose, is to teach you complete dependence on him. That's what the wilderness is about. He's going to make you lack. He's going to make you want. He's going to put you in seasons of distress. He's going to put you in seasons of trial. And every single one of those things that he does, the divine motive, God's goodness behind it, he wants to wean us off reliance on the flesh. Wean us off reliance of the world. Wean us off reliance of the opinions of other people. Wean us off being sensitive to natural things and bring us to the place that we only live by what comes out of his mouth. And that's maturity. When he can bring you to that place that despite what people are saying, despite the fuss all around you, despite the pressure and the devil trying to take advantage of that situation, but inside of yourself you say, I'm going to live by what God says here. I'm going to go by the spoken word here. I'm not going to look at what circumstances look like, the pressure of the circumstances that I'm in, but my soul, I'm seeking the grace of God for my soul to be governed here by the spoken word. By what proceeds out of his mouth. Because Satan's always going to come in the time of distress, time of trial, to show you an easier way. He's going to say, you don't have to go through with this. You've been waiting a long time to get married. It's okay. There's lots of guys here you can go and marry. These people, just go and go. They look at this guy at work. Such a nice guy. Oh, look, he's got a Colgate smile. And he's got, you know, the way he conducts himself. And he'll offer you something. A way out of that trial. And that's where the testing comes by. Because the sons and daughters of God, their desire, the seed in them is one. And that seed lives only by what proceeds from his mouth. So you're not going to look in that season at the pressure that's upon your flesh, the pressure in your spirit, the way you're feeling about things. Because friends, our spirit deceives us every second day. Today you feel saved, tomorrow you don't feel saved. Today you feel God's with you and he's leading you, tomorrow you're feeling, where's God? That's your human spirit. You can't go by your human spirit. That's the greatest battle ever fought. That's where Satan comes to try to take an advantage in the seasons of trial. But to the believer, it's your soul. It's the soul. It's the seed that he put inside of you. The potential to overcome every trial, every temptation is already in the believer. It's in the seed that's in you. And if you can just get everything still and quiet and let the anointing come on the seed and hear what Father has to say, he will show you the way of escape every time. The divine way of escape. And he will be glorified in it. You will be further established as a believer. You will come out of that trial and would have done something for you. And you'll never be the same. It will have put something inside of you, which is the purpose that he led you into that trial. But if you allow the devil to take advantage of that situation, that season of trial becomes a season of temptation. Because God, when he tests you, he's testing the seed. He's wanting the seed to express itself. That's what he wants. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to anoint the seed. So that seed in you, the real you, that you don't even know that's in there. He wants it to be expressed, so he puts you into the wilderness for that. But Satan now doesn't work on the seed. He works on the outward man. Satan wants to put pressure on your flesh, pressure in your mind, in your spirit. You know, so Satan works in that realm, trying to get you to pay attention to the outward man during the time of trial. Where the Lord's trying to say, don't pay attention to the outward man. The power to overcome is in the inward man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the seed that's in the soul of a believer responds only to the spoken word. You sat in denominations for years, the seed never responded. You sat under the teachings of man for years, the seed never responded. But the moment the spoken word came, what proceeded from the mouth of God in this age, the seed had came to life. And you started to express something you'd never expressed before. You started to express the real you that God knows in you. And in order for him to continue this child training, to continue this process, to bring you to the fullness of what you're supposed to be, he takes us through the wilderness. He takes us through these seasons of trial. You'll have seasons of joy that don't last very long as a believer. Now you'll dance, you'll rejoice, you'll see, now your enemies are dead in the sea. You'll be composing songs because of the great victory, the testimony meeting going on, the horse and riders cast into the sea. They were singing. But it didn't take long, and then they find themselves 3 days later in the wilderness, and they're being tempted of the Lord. They're being tested of the Lord, because God wants to do something in them. So the prophet says, a testing time. He says he must first have a sanctifying process before you come into the promised land. He says he must have a testing time in his life. All of you had it. Every son that comes to God, that's what the scripture says, is first scourged. That's being whipped. Who likes being whipped by God? None of us do. But to a genuine son of God, if you're in the right condition, you know it's for your good. Satan will try to come and tell you a lot of stories at that time. You don't have to go through with this. That's the kind of thing that he'll say to you. Does God really love you if you're going through this? But if you just get still and you just get quiet and you just listen, you'll find out that deep down inside of there, something knows this is for your good. Amen. This is for my good. He says every son is first scourged, chastened. And if we cannot stand chastisement, then it shows we're not the children of God. So every elect, predestinated son and daughter of God has the capacity in them to go through everything that God takes them through. But if you're not a son and daughter of God, you're going to blow up. If you're not a son and daughter of God, you're going to get offended in the process. You're going to get offended with God. You're going to get grieved with what you're going through. Because you're a bastard child. You don't know who your father is. But if you're really born of above, if you're born of the incorruptible seed of the word, you know who your father is. And although you might not understand in your mind what you're going through, your reasoning might tell you everything's going wrong. You may not understand in your flesh. You may have pain in your flesh. You may have pressure in your flesh. But deep down inside of your heart, you know, my father knows what's best for me. My father knows what's best, and all things work together for them, for the good of them who love the Lord. Something good has to come from this. As Brother Harry Reagan sings that song, God will make this trial a blessing, though it brings me to my knees. And that's the purpose of it. Because so many times God is bringing us to a situation because he wants us to see things the way that he sees things. We're so much leaning on our own understanding. We're trying to live our own life, but we're sons and daughters of God. And God says, I can't allow that for my son. I can't allow my daughter to live like that. So he brings you into the wilderness. He brings you to a place that all of your reasoning is not going to fix the situation. That all of your intelligence and all of the things you've always relied upon inside of your life, it does you no good. Because he wants to teach you one thing, that man doesn't live by bread alone. It's not you manufacturing bread. It's not you manufacturing a solution to your situation that's going to bring you through. But it's the spoken word. It's every word that proceeds from his mouth. He wants to get us to the stage that we're completely reliant upon that. Living in that realm and led by him, his spoken word. That he speaks to you and he speaks to me. And friends, it's a time of temptation. It's a testing time. But it's for our good if we're the sons and daughters of God. The prophet says, you see, that's the chastisement, the strain, the things that we go through, the chastisement. And to a believer, you're never too far from these kind of things. You know, your seasons of blessing, your seasons of rest and peace, you know, if you really look at them, if you weigh up the years of your pilgrimage, you're going to find there's a far greater portion of your time is in the wilderness. In those experiences, in the times of rejoicing on the mountaintop. Because this life that we're living in isn't for us just to always be rejoicing. This life that we're living in is its child training. It's Him bringing us to a condition which will go into the next world. This is just the training, the proving ground. The prophet says, this is just God perfecting something in you. The only thing you're going to take with you is what God puts the most importance on in this world, which is that character inside of you. That's why the word temptation, to tempt or to try in the Bible, it means something that breaks the pattern of peace or comfort, joy, and happiness in someone's life. So anything that comes when everything's going well and then something comes. You get a telephone call. You get an email. Something said at work. You hear something from the doctor. You know, whatever it is. Something happens with your children. Something that comes to break the peace, the comfort. That's a temptation. That's a trial. That's what it is. You've now moved into a season of temptation. You've moved into a season of trial. And these things normally aren't too far away. And that word means also the trials, testings, temptations that go into furnishing a test of one's character. So this is something which God wants to use for your character. Sometimes there's something which isn't right there. God knows it's not right, but He wants you to know that it's not right. So the only way, you know, you might think I'm doing well, but God's saying there's something inside of here that's going to be a hindrance down the way. So He wants to take you now into a situation before you get to the big test to reveal to you that there's something in your character which isn't going to stand you in good stead. So He wants you to deal with that now because it's going to be important for you down the way. That's why, friends, His wisdom is immense. God's wisdom is awesome. His leadership is perfect. He never makes a mistake in the lives of His sons and daughters. Nothing's ever out of control. The devil's never in control. He may be permitted for a season to tempt you. That's God's permissive will. He's the agent, the devil, that God uses to do many things. But above it all is the perfect will of God. And His will is our sanctification, the Bible says. He wants us to come through every trial being more perfect and complete, wanting nothing. That's what it says. That's the purpose of it. But friends, we have a devil, a very personal devil who wants to be very personally involved in these seasons as well. And that's where you've got to be careful in these kind of times. Because just as much as God wants to speak to you and He has the answer, the devil's going to try to speak to you as well. The devil's got his answer as well. He's got a solution, and many times his solution is far more attractive than God's solution. You know, when this Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children, the solution was very attractive. Hagar was very attractive. It was very appealing outwardly, that solution. But it wasn't the will of God. They were supposed to live by the spoken word. What had God said to them? That's through Sarah shall your seed be born. But instead of living on the spoken word because of the pressure, and Sarah was feeling the pressure, she came now. Let's turn the stones into bread. He has an easy way to satisfy this situation. And they made a great mistake. And we're still living under that great mistake today. What's the greatest curse in the earth today? It's Islamic fundamentalism, which comes back to Ishmael. That, friends, it'll always be, the prophet says, a thought in your flesh, a hair in the biscuit, from that time onwards when you do those kind of things. That's why permissive will is not something you would ever choose as a believer. It seems a good idea at the time, but there's consequences, recurring consequences, recurring consequences, recurring consequences. Whereas God's perfect will, it's like a bright and shining light that grows brighter and brighter until the end of the day. And that's what it should be. So Jesus now, when He's in this time of temptation, and Satan says that to Him, turn these stones to bread. He goes and quotes from the Old Testament. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Yeah, and when Satan takes Him to the top of the temple and says, cast yourself down, it's written the angels will bear you up in their arms. What does Jesus say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. That's taken from the temptation in the wilderness as well. Because Israel, as soon as they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, Exodus 15, 16, 17, there's three temptations. The first one is when they come to Marah, the bitter waters. That's in Exodus 50. Exodus 16, they get now to no food. That's when the manna comes down. Man shall not live by bread alone. The next one, chapter 17, is when they come to the place We'll see. In fact, we'll see it when we come to Meribah. And it became a place of temptation and a place of provocation in the wilderness. But there was a threefold temptation, and Jesus goes back to those things. And he uses the virtue that he's gleaned from what they've gone through. And he uses the tactics they should have used at that time. And he uses those things to overcome the devil in his situation. Let's look at Exodus 17. We'll start with this one, which is when they came to Rephidim, which later on was called Massah and Meribah. Exodus 17, verse 1. It says, "And all the congregation of Israel," so this was Church Israel in the wilderness, this was the message of the hour, "all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." So the Bible says this was according to the commandment of the Lord. Many times you find that saying in the Bible means they followed the leadership of the pillar of fire. They were following the pillar of fire, and when he told them to stop, they'd stop. When he told them to move, they would move. And God led his people into a dry place. God led his people to a place there was no water. Verse 2, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses." Oh, friends, what a mistake. Straight away, they get straight into a temptation. And the amazing thing, we're going out of order on these temptations for a reason, but in the previous chapter, they've come to a similar situation. They've come to the waters of Marah, which are bitter. And God showed them a solution, and God sweetens the waters. But they never gleaned the virtue that from that lesson they'd been through. That's the great mistake. If God takes us through something, we don't learn from what he's taken us through, friends. Be careful. That's what we said on Wednesday. Don't quickly move on to the next thing. Try to really learn. Like I said, Brother Lonnie Jenkins, I liked what he said. He says, any situation that comes up in my life, he said, I go and ask Father. I say, "Father, what is it that you're trying to teach me here? What are you trying to teach me here?" Don't worry about what's happening to other people. Don't get caught up in other people's business and other people's affairs. That'll complicate your situation. You ask Papa, "What are you trying to teach me here? Why have you brought me into this situation? Though everybody else fails, though 1,000 fall at my left hand and 10,000 at my right, but I'm going to hide myself in the secret of your tabernacle because, Lord, I want to know, what are you trying to teach me here?" But it's going to be so tempting for other, because other people are going to come to you at that time. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. People are going to have their own opinions of why you're going through that, of their own opinions of why certain things are happening at that time. And if you're not careful like Israel, you're going to start to chide. You know what that word chide really means? To chide means to grapple, to wrangle, like to wrestle. Friends, once you're wrestling with the will of God, you're not in a good spiritual condition. Just be careful. When you're wrestling with the spoken word, when you're wrestling with the word of God, be so careful. It's not going to work out for your good. But when you can come to that submission, "Be it unto me according to your word," all is going to come out well. "Not my will, Father, but thy will be done." That great victory in trial. But once we're wrestling, friends, you're going to bed at night, you can't sleep properly, it's going through your mind. "No, I'm going to say this, I'm going to do that. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand." You know, be careful. Amen. Be careful. There's an ever-present devil who's there to try to get into that situation to pervert whatever it is that God's trying to do. The prophet says Satan can create nothing, but he's there to pervert what God is doing. So the purpose that God has for you at that time, Satan wants to pervert it. And he did that. He came down, and these people, they were out of the spirit. They were carnal people, most of these people. It was a mixed multitude that came up, the Bible says. They weren't all predestinated to the promised land. And the wilderness journey was going to weed them out, friends. Every step of the way, it was going to weed out more and more of them that weren't ordained to make it all the way through. And that's why the bride's going through what she's going through now. It's like Gideon's band. Now, before they could go for the final victory, Gideon, there were certain tests they went through, and these ones weren't there anymore, and then those ones weren't there. And then finally, there was the elect, and those were the ones that went through to the victory. And friends, I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. But this is an individual thing. That's why it's good for us to go back and see. But those who made it before, what was the principle they followed? Now, what was the keys they used? I mean, what was it that brought them through the things? And also, it's good to study what was God not pleased with in the others. And we see it straight away with these people. The Bible says they did chide with Moses. That's the message of the hour. Friends, you'll find you'll bring something from the spoken word and you'll show. And people will be trying to find some way around that. People will be wrestling, saying, no, no. Because inside of themselves, they have their own desire. They have their own will. And instead of looking at what God has said, what has proceeded from the mouth of God and saying, this is the only thing I can live by. Anything else, I can't live by it. And seeking now to get yourself in a spiritual condition to submit yourself so that something changes in you so that, you know, what pleases God pleases you as well. But instead of that, we can use, still stay religious. We still message believers, but we're trying to find ways around the word. We're wrestling with it, trying to find this, trying to find that. And if you're not careful in that process, now, you approach the message the wrong way. The prophet says you get what you're looking for. If you want to find contradictions in the message, you're going to find them. If you're going to come at the message with a critical eye, you're going to find plenty of things to criticize in the message. If you are, you know, anointed with the spirit of unbelief, you're going to have a lot of things you're going to find here and that they're going to anoint that. They're going to increase that unbelief in you. Because it's our attitude that's going to determine the results in anything. And straight away, their attitude was wrong. They come into this place. He's already delivered them at the Red Sea. They complained against Moses at the Red Sea. Why are things like this in church these days? Why has Moses brought us into this situation? There's no solution. Oh, this man, we should have stayed in Egypt. Oh, let's find another man. We don't need this prophet of the age. That's what people are doing now, friends. It's exactly the same. It's a great mistake. Straight from there, God opens the Red Sea. Takes them straight from the Red Sea now to Marah. And they complain against Moses. And they say, Moses, you brought us to the bitter water. Who brought them to the bitter water? The pillar of fire brought them to the bitter water. It wasn't Moses that brought them into this situation. It was the pillar of fire brought them into this situation. Because they were the sons and daughters of God. And they were supposed to learn from these situations. But you've got to remain humble. You've got to keep a teachable spirit. You've got to be wanting to learn to glean the spiritual virtue from what it is that God's taken you through. Is that not what He's been doing to us as a church in the season gone by, friends? He put us in a testing time, and it's been good. It hasn't been easy, but there's lessons He wants us to glean and things that He wants us to learn. He's chastening us as His sons. He's chastening us as His daughters. But be careful at those kind of times that the devil doesn't get on you. Amen. And you start to chide and you start to murmur. You see, and you start making your own way of getting yourselves out of that situation. If God has ordained a trial, there's a determinate length of that trial. Amen. It has a beginning and it has an end. Amen. He wants to take you into a trial, learn the lesson, then bring you out. Don't try to get out of the trial in the middle. No matter how much pressure you may feel, no matter how appealing it may be, no matter how much that solution may seem to be a good idea, inside of your soul you know this is not God's will. Because God doesn't put you into a trial so that you can get yourself out. That time when they came to Samuel, like we said, they found an occasion. His sons weren't walking right. And instead of humbling themselves and coming to say, Samuel, you're the prophet. You can receive that which proceeds from the mouth of God to speak to this situation. What is God's divine solution to this situation? Instead of coming humbly like that, they came to Samuel and says, we're tired of your sons. We want a king like the other nations. And the Bible says, Samuel's heart almost stopped. Because Samuel thought, but what did I do to these people? What did the message do? It did nothing. It was always just faithful. But now they had enough. They wanted to change the situation themselves. You see, they wanted to make their own solution. They wanted to remove Samuel and they wanted to put Saul. You see, they had their own one they wanted to put in that place. And God came and revealed to them, this is not my will. This is a permissible. They never allowed themselves to go through that trial. To glean from the Lord what He wanted them to do. We'll see it down the way. God always has a solution. And the solution's never far away. And if you approach him the right way, he'll reveal that solution to you in the midst of your trial. But if you don't approach him the right way, there'll be no solution for you. You'll just see there's no solution to this situation. God will never lead you into a situation that there's not a way of escape. There's always a provided way of escape. A way that he'll bless, a way that'll be a blessing to you. But Satan doesn't want us to do that. So the people, verse 2, did chide with Moses. They grappled. It means also to have a controversy. To defend, to complain, to contend, to debate. You see, a debate, you know what a debate is? A debate is when there's two sides which are different. You see, that's what it is. They already came having made up their mind about something. They weren't coming humbly to the Lord to say, but Lord, you know, our thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are far as the heavens above our thoughts. You know your thoughts towards this, but they came with their mind already made up. They came and they wanted now to debate with Moses. Moses here is trying to say, this is what God wants to be done. And they're going to say, no, this is what we want to be done. And it becomes a striving, a strife. That word, this place, Rephidim, we'll see, the name is changed to Massa, which means temptation, which means striving. And Meribah, which means temptation. You see what it is? They were led into a situation that it could have been a blessing, but became a strife. And then it became a temptation. And then it became something, it became a bitter experience for them. It was a dangerous thing. The prophet says, in Eagle Stirs Their Nest, 1959 August, you have to come with the right kind of an approach to God. If you come selfish, if you come any other approach, but the right mental attitude towards God or any divine gift, you'll never receive any benefits from it. You've got to come with your surrendered all to God. When you come to God, you've got to come prepared to lay aside everything of your own, all of your own understanding. You've got to be prepared if you're really seeking God to lay aside every one of the solutions you've already made. You've got to be prepared to do a 180 U-turn from the way that you're going. If you're really sincere coming to the Lord. Because so many times our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. And if you approach Him the right way, He's going to give you the spoken word bread. He's going to give you the very thing that you can overcome by. But you've got to be careful that you're in the right condition to receive it as such. And Israel, they weren't in that condition at that time. Verse 3, it says, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses. That word murmur means to be stubborn or to be obstinate. You see, they weren't like in a reasonable spirit. They were just fed up. We fed up with this man, Moses. We are not going to listen to what he says. We're just going to go and complain. Friends, you approach the message like that, you're going to get nothing. Amen. Nothing whatsoever. Skies are going to be like brass. Your soul's going to be as dry as the wilderness itself. Amen. If you try to approach him like that. The people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt? Hey, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Can you see that these people's hearts weren't right, friends? Amen. When the trial came, they said, why did I come to this church? I should have stayed in the world. Amen. That was the first thought that they were thinking. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children, our cattle with thirst. Hey. But friends, let's not all be too smug here. How many times have we had to repent before the Lord in the midst of our trial when we've thought God forgot about us? When we thought, where's God in my trial? This is going to be a disaster in the end. God's forgotten about me. How many times have we thought like that? In the midst of the trial, when we look at that trial and we think something's wrong here. Where's God in this situation? And the devil wants to come and anoint you at that time to give you that kind of an attitude. And the moment you get that kind of an attitude, there's going to be no blessing. There's going to be no blessing in that trial. Because they weren't coming, like I just wrote it here, they weren't coming to seek an understanding. If they'd have come to Moses, say, look, Moses, the Lord is good. He's been good to us. Hey, he brought us out of Egypt. We saw the 10 plagues. We saw, hey, he visited plagues on them in Goshen. They never came to us. We saw the death angel strike their firstborn, but it never struck us. Hey, when we came to the Red Sea, yes, Moses, we made a mistake, but God came through in the end. He opened it up for us. Ah, Moses, God has always been good. But Moses, this is hard for us. What does God have in his mind here? What is God's solution to our situation? Because God had a solution. God wanted to reveal the smitten rock to them. God wanted to reveal redemption to them. He had it in his mind. He says, let me bring these people to thirst. And then what I'll do, I'll come, I'll get my prophet to smite the rock. And the water will come out and I'll reveal redemption to them. I'll reveal Christ to them in the midst of their trial. I'll reveal how on 1500 years from now, I'm going to come on the cross and I'm going to be smitten by the judgment rod and the waters of life are going to flow from me. God already had a great redemptive revelation in his mind, which he was going to reveal to them if they could just wait. If they could just have had the right attitude, if they could just have approached the messenger the right way. God had a solution here. God had such a rich solution, so full of virtue. They would have gone for months feeding upon that experience. But the devil got there first. And they came murmuring and complaining. And said, did you bring us here to perish in the wilderness? Did you bring us here to kill our children? Can you see why these people never inherited the promised land? Can you see with many of them, the Bible says God is not well pleased. And their bodies perished. And their tombs in the wilderness. And they never made it through. Friends, I don't want to be like that. No matter what he puts me through, no matter what trials I have to go through, I'm just saying, Lord, help me never to have this attitude. And friends, we have to repent. Because in times gone by, every single one of us, we've been anointed by that kind of a spirit. We have. But let's be careful of this. These are the spirits that come to keep you from your inheritance. These are the spirits that come to complicate things, to hinder you from getting to the promised land, to the fullness of Canaan that is reserved for us. This is the kind of attitude you've got to beware of inside of your life. Once you start getting like that, whoo, friends, it's time to call a fast. It's time to call a halt in your own spiritual life and to go and lay on your face before the Lord and say, Lord, deliver me from this, Lord. The fowls have come upon my sacrifice. They've come to defile and pollute it. Lord, I want to be like Abraham and cast these fowls away. We've got to be careful. So, Moses, what does he do? Verse 4. It's what they should have done. Moses cried unto the Lord. Why is Moses the only one crying out to the Lord? Let me ask you that, friends. Why is Moses the only one crying out to the Lord? They're all in the same trial together. Friends, when we get into problems in this church, every one of us needs to cry out to the Lord. Every single of us need to be seeking the mind of God. Every single one of us need to be saying, Lord, you've led us to this situation. There's a divine purpose for this trial. You're trying to better establish us. You're trying to purge us. You're trying to, you know, take us forward as your sons. What is it that you're trying to teach us, Lord? It's every one of us that's in this, friends, us and our children, like them and their children. But Moses was the only, I'm sure Joshua and Caleb did as well. The scripture doesn't say so. But you know, Joshua and Caleb had another spirit, the Bible says. I'm sure they weren't caught up in what was happening in the camp. But Moses cried out unto the Lord in this temptation, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They'd be almost ready to stone me. Never choose a position of leadership. The prophet says, anybody God calls, they want him to run away from it. Because that's what goes with it, friends. It's not easy sometimes. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, God had a solution. As soon as Moses sought God, God says, no problem, Moses. He has the answer. Here's the answer. Here, Moses. The answer's not far. You see that rock over there? The answer's just there. But he just needed the divine revelation. He just needed the word to proceed from the mouth of God concerning that situation. He just needed the spoken word to come his way at that time. Now, friends, this is the whole purpose of what I'm saying. Every single person there, if I'd approached God the same way, would have got the same answer. Every single person. If they'd approached the Lord the same way in prayer and humbled themselves, said, Father, please, you've got your prophet there. You know, your messenger, can't you come and reveal to your prophet what is the answer here to our situation? That's what they should have done. It's like us, when we get into a situation, what do? We go and we pray. We try to humble ourselves. Then we say, Lord, what did you say in your word? What did your prophet say about this? And we try to search out what's in the message. We're trying to find the spoken word bread. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but we overcome every trial, every difficulty by the spoken word bread. And everything that we need to overcome in this age is in the spoken word bread. We don't need anybody else. I don't want anybody else. I don't want anybody else's books. I don't want anybody else's revelation in this age. Yeah, other people like it, let it stay with them. But as for me, I'm satisfied with Moses, our Moses. I'm satisfied with the spoken word bread that is given us. And all we're needing is the Shekinah light to shine upon that portion of the Shekinah bread, which is the bread that will feed us and equip us to overcome the current situation that we're going through. Friends, anything else, friends, is not the spoken word bread. It's the spoken word bread. It's what God has said to this age, which gives us the power to overcome this age. And all these other ones, let me say it frankly, they're just imposters and they're liars. All the rest of them, the eighth message, they're just liars, friends. They're imposters. They're false apostles. They've just been sent of the devil to come and cause a controversy in the message, conflict, and come and cause a confusion. Let's pay none heed unto them. Let's not give them an ear. People ask me sometimes, did you read what this person said? I said, I've got no time in those things. I don't even have enough time to read the spoken word bread. In the way life is, friends, you don't even have enough time to spend in the spoken words themselves. Why should I be going to search at what some fallen man had to say about things? Or what some man anointed with the spirit of criticism against the message had to say? Don't waste your time. That's putting yourself in temptation. The Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. You can't go and read all those nonsense things against the message. Get yourself all confused in your mind and expect God to come and deliver you now. You're tempting the Lord. It's like somebody who's got sugar diabetes and the Lord hasn't told you. Like we had our good brother back home, Brother Tandy in Zimbabwe. You've got to be careful at tempting the Lord. And he made up in his mind that God's going to heal me. And he stopped taking his medicine. And he died. Friends, make sure God is leading you. Don't tempt the Lord. Sometimes we try to force God to do something which is against his will in that season. Maybe he would have done something down the way for the brother if he could have just waited, but you need to be sure. Make sure that it's the Lord. Make sure you're not leading yourself, because God is not obligated to deliver you if you're leading yourself. God is obligated to deliver you if he's leading you into that temptation. He led them to the Red Sea. Therefore, he had to open the Red Sea. He led them to a place there was no water. He had to provide water from the rock, because he led them there. But if you lead yourself into temptation, be careful. It's just the grace of God to deliver you from there. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to. And sometimes he'll leave you in there to teach you a lesson for a while. And then he'll come and deliver you and say, did you learn the lesson? So next time you won't be too quick to jump in it yourself. That's why the prophet says, David, a man after God's own heart. He was worried about that battle that day. So he stayed there until he heard the sound of the wind in the mulberry trees. He says, then he knew the Lord had gone before. And the prophet says, that's what we've got to do. We may have a desire to do something for God, he says. We may have a desire for God to use us in a certain way. But the prophet says, but wait, because he has to go before. He has his season, he has his time, you know. Don't go ahead of God. But these people here, they should have waited upon the Lord. Verse 5, so the Lord showed him now the spoken word answer, the redemptive answer to that situation. The Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Imagine what a testimony and a blessing that would have been if they hadn't have got in this condition they had before that. Imagine if they'd have stayed in a unity and stayed in a one accord and said, let's wait and see what God is going to do here. This is another opportunity for the Lord. The Lord's led us into this situation. Let's wait and see what he's going to do. Same as us with the church. We wait and see what he's going to do. He led us here, friends. He's been gracious to us here. Let's not try to turn stones into bread. Let's do what we can, but let's seek him to go before in the mulberry trees. Because it's his responsibility. He has a solution just as much as a solution for them. He has a solution for us. He has a solution for you. If you're not married, he has a husband and a wife somewhere for you. If you don't have a job, he has a job for you somewhere. He has his time, his season. And sometimes he's just waiting for us to speak to him in that kind of a way. To approach him the way that Moses did. And then God unveiled the solution he always had in his mind. God was going to bring them to this. If they could have just overcome themselves and just been still before the Lord. Like at the Red Sea when Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. And he quietened the people. Sometimes, friends, the hardest thing for us is to get quiet long enough for him to reveal to us the spoken word bread that we need at that time. We're so rushed in our spirit. We're so hurried looking for a situation. We so much want something to change because of the pressure that we're under. Friends, you'll get yourself in trouble like they got themselves in trouble. Let's do like Moses did. Cry out unto the Lord and wait to hear what he has to say. And God came down with this great redemptive revelation. Came and revealed a Calvary to him. Came and showed him the water from the rock. Friends, there was so much virtue in that solution that God revealed to him. That's why, let's look at Deuteronomy 6:16, just to show later on Moses refers back to this just before they go into the promised land. He's speaking to the sons and daughters of these people, say, learn the lesson from your fathers. What is the big lesson? He says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him at Massah. They tempted the Lord. You know what tempting the Lord is like, friends? It's like you're trying to force God to do something. Yes. Say, God, you've got to do this for me. Don't tempt the Lord, friends. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's the intelligence, we're the little ones. He's the one who has the answer. We the ones who need to receive the answer. But they tempted the Lord. And you know what the Bible says was their biggest temptation? It says when they said, is the Lord amongst us or not? Look and sorry, just skip back if you don't mind. Sorry about to skip around there. I missed one verse there. If you go back to Exodus 17 verse 7, just to show this is what Moses is speaking about. Sorry, I missed that verse, but it's a key one. In Exodus 17 verse 7, Moses brought forth the water from the rock, and then the name changed of the place. It wasn't Rephidim anymore. And he called the name of the place Massah. Massah means temptation or testing. And Meribah. Meribah means contention. So in our times of testing, let's make sure they don't become times of contention. It becomes a bitter experience. Instead of being a time, a place of blessing. So he called the name Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel. And because they tempted the Lord saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? How could they have doubted? What right did they have to say that? Going back to when God came to them with sending Moses to them right in Egypt. The 10 miracles he did in Egypt. The Red Sea, the waters of Marah, straight to this situation. They had no right. And friends, we have no right. You and I, as genuine believers, look in your experience. Have you got any right to say, is God with me or not? That's unbelief, friends. Be careful of that unbelief. That's the devil who's come and he's dimmed your eagle eyes. Be careful of those kind of times. But if you would just get in the spirit, and just think back to what he's done. Amen. You and I have absolutely no grounds to say these kind of things. Is God with us or not? Friends, we need to repent of that. I repented when I read the scripture. Yesterday, I was repenting. I said, Lord, you forgive me, Lord. For those times of testing that I thought, is God with me or not? Has God forgotten about me? Friends, we need to repent. That's very displeasing to the Lord. The Bible actually says it grieved the Lord. The Lord says, I'm your father. Look at all the things I've done for you. He says, I've just given you manna in the previous chapter from feeding you every day on manna. Imagine, they're eating manna that morning and they're saying, is God with us or not? But that's what sin does to us. That's why Paul says, be careful of the deceitfulness of sin. Lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
That just because God's not dealing with your current situation the way you want Him to deal with, you say, God's not with me. And you're failing to see the forest because of the trees. You can just focus on one little problem in your life, and God will have blessed you in 99 other things. And we forget those 99 and we say, God is not dealing with this. Shame on us. Shame on us. Let's get in the Spirit and appreciate what He's done. Let's remember what He's done. Let's remember the Lord. I'll testify, God has been good to me, friends. I've been through hard times in this message, right from back home, but God has been good to me. He's made every trial a blessing so far. Every trial has become a blessing to me. It was hard when I was going through it, but it's a blessing to me now. I got virtue and revelation and character and maturity and wisdom and understanding from everything that I went through. And though I always say we failed Him many times, He's never failed us once. And He never will fail us. We read the scripture on Wednesday when He said in the covenant to Jacob, He says, I will be with you. I will not leave you until I've done everything that I've said that I was going to do for you. And that's the same with us. He will never leave us and forsake us, friends. But the devil's the one who comes now to whisper. He's forsaken you. No, you don't have to put up with this. No, no, no. Why don't you change things here? Look, turn the stones into bread. No, do it yourself. You don't have to go through with this. The best thing to do then, go and ask Father. And say, Father, what you will. Come approach Him the right way and say, Father, what is the spoken word bread concerning my situation? What do you have to say about this? Because man shall not live by bread alone, but we live by the spoken word, present tense, today manna. That's what we live by. God feeding your soul concerning your current situation. That's why this walk is such an individual walk. He calls us Gentiles as individuals. You've got to find your individual answer. We can have counsel. Yes, you must seek for counsel, understanding, wisdom. But in the end, people can counsel you with all the quotes and scriptures in the world. But if you don't submit yourself and get humble and approach that word the right way, you'll start contending against the counsel you've received. You'll contend against Moses, the messenger of the hour. You'll contend against the Holy Ghost who gave the scriptures. And you'll be in your own Massa and Meribah. When it should have been a place of great blessing, it became a place which has got a bad name. Whenever they would think in future and look back to that season of their life, the sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there was regret. And do you not have those kind of times in your life as well? I've got some. I don't like to think of that certain portion of life. There's other ones you'd rather focus on. Let's look at David. How did he overcome? Just while we're in the middle, before we get to the final thing in the wilderness. But in Psalm 63, this is David, a man after God's own heart. And if we are people after God's own heart, we would seek to emulate David in this kind of a situation. Look in verse 1. Let's look at the psalm, what it says about it first. Psalm 63, if you've got it at the beginning of the verse, it doesn't say it on the screen. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Does your Bible say that? A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. This is when he's fleeing from Absalom. This is God's chastening. This is God purging him by sending him into wilderness. Because God didn't like that something in David. That he took another man's wife and then killed Uriah by the sword of the Hittites, whatever it was. Yeah? So he raises up an adversary and sends him now into the wilderness. But the wilderness experience is always for the good of the sons and daughters of God. He's wanting to purge him. He's wanting to take out this weakness. The prophet says he wanted to thoroughly purge him of this weakness. So he wouldn't do it again. But now look at David's attitude in the wilderness. He comes to a place that he's thirsty. Verse 1. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why didn't Israel do the same? When he gets this place, he's dry, he's thirsty, his flesh is failing. Outwardly, it's tough. But the greatest thing he's focusing on, David, is his soul. He says, Lord, I don't care about this outward. I'm not asking you to furnish me a table in the wilderness. I'm not asking you to bring me water from the rock, but Lord, I need you. My soul, it's thirsting for you. And he says, early will I seek thee. You know why we get overcome in so many trials? We bring God into the situation too late. We should be seeking God early in our trials. Right at the beginning of the trial, we should be seeking his face. To get God's spoken word bread from the beginning. That's what Jesus did. And David, he says, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory. So I seen thee in the sanctuary. He's not asking for food or to deliverance from his enemies. He's saying, Lord, I want the spoken word bread. I want your presence. I want your wisdom. I want fellowship and communion with you at this time. That's what Moses did. When things got too hard for him, he went and he cried out to the Lord. Lord, I need you to show me what to do. What should I do with these people? Should that not be the way that we approach our wildernesses as well, friends? Seek him early. Focus on your soul. Don't worry about your flesh that's failing. There's something more important. It's your soul. And that's what David's doing. Look what he says in verse 3. Why is he seeking the Lord? He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. He says, I'd rather mind living out here in the wilderness as long as it's your loving kindness is real to me. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. These people are murmuring and striving and contending. Here's another man in a situation in the wilderness. My lips shall praise thee. Verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Our friends, don't you want to be like this sort of a man in your wilderness experiences? Friends, that's a man after God's own heart. My lips will praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. Verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Oh, when you give me, Lord, the Shekinah bread. Lord, when I'm having communion with you in the midst of my trials, although my body outwardly may be hungry, but my soul is delighted as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed. That's the kind of remembering you want. He's not focusing on his current situation. He's looking back saying, Lord, you've been good to me, Lord. Lord, I'm going through a trial now. It's my own fault. You're purging me now. But I'm going to bless you. I'm going to remember you from my bed. And meditate on thee in the night watches. In the middle of the night when they're out there and there's the guards around the camp. And they're hiding from Saul. And David, maybe he hears the night watches are changing in the night. You know, they change the next troop or next guard is coming on. And David maybe gets woken up. And what's going on? Somebody's moving. Oh, okay, it's just the guards changing. And he says, okay, now that I'm awake, let me meditate upon the goodness of the Lord. While I meditate during the night watches. Oh, friends, a man living out there, he probably doesn't even have a roof over his head. He's in the wilderness. He's in his wilderness experience. And God has allowed him to be there for a divine purpose. And this man's going to praise the Lord. Verse 7, because thou hast been mine help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Friends, we can say the same, Lord, thou hast been in my help. Therefore, where does he want to stay? In the shadow of his wings. That's where the Shekinah was. He wants to be like, he's saying, I'm like by the mercy seat. I'm hidden behind the veil where there's the Shekinah glory under the wings of the cherubim. That's where David wants to keep himself in the wilderness. He knows that's where I'm going to get the answer. That's where I'm going to get the strength. That's where I'm going to get the prevailing power. Because there was the hidden manna as well, under the wings of the cherubim. That manna that stayed fresh every day. That manna just for the priesthood, for the overcomer to eat. That's where you would get it. The Shekinah bread, the prophet says. That's where you would find it, right there. Verse 8, we finish with that one. He says, my soul followeth hard after thee. I'm seeking thee with all of my soul. Hey, friends. That's the way to do it, friends. That's the way. That's the way you overcome in the wilderness. You emulate David. Because this is what the son of David did. When the devil came to him and said, turn the stones into bread. He says, yes, my body's hungry. Yes, this is tough out here, but there's something more important than my body. That's my soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He says, I'm satisfied where I am. I'm satisfied in the condition that I am because I'm eating of the spoken word bread. And Satan, you can throw everything you want at me. Upon this rock, the gates of hell will never prevail. The spoken word bread. He knew it. Jesus knew, as long as I'm in this place, this spiritual condition in my soul, as long as I'm feeding on this spoken word bread, it doesn't matter, devil, do your best, do your worst. I'm coming out of this as an overcomer. Because I'm eating the food of an overcomer. I'm staying in the place of the overcomer. That's where he was. He was overcoming. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Right in his wilderness, right in his chastening. You, God, it could be far worse. You're chastening me, but it's not to cast me down. You're chastening me, but it's not to cut me off. You're chastening me, it's to purge me, it's to teach me something about you. So when I come out of this situation, I'm better than when I went in. And he was. Let's take one more. Let's just finish up now with the other one in the wilderness. We'll go to Marah. If you go to Genesis 15, we'll take one more from there before we finish. Just to show Jesus was learning about this one here as well. If I can find it here. Exodus chapter 15. Look when they come now to Marah, straight from the Red Sea. Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, straight from their time of rejoicing, yeah? And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. 3 days after their last deliverance. Is it not amazing? We can have such a wonderful time on a Sunday, you feel such a victor. Then you just have something come on Monday and you forget Sunday. Is it not like that many times? That's why these things, they're common to us. These things are things we can learn by. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which means bitterness. What did the people do? And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Friends, let's be honest. What did they expect Moses to say? Tell me the truth. Did they honestly come to Moses there thinking Moses had an answer? Did they think Moses had a big store of water in his tent? Or what did they really think Moses was going to do for them? Can you see that? Can you see the wrong approach and the wrong attitude? They should have been coming to Moses to say what? Moses, why has God brought us here? What does God want to teach us? Moses, God just opened the Red Sea 3 days ago, 4 days ago. What is the solution to this situation? What is the divine solution to our current situation? You, Moses, there's the pillar of fire, there's the cloud. We've seen you so many times go in that pillar of fire and come out and tell us the mind of God. Please, go and tell us God's mind about this situation. Go and get us a spoken word bread about this situation. Come and preach to us about our current situation and God's mind about the current situation. Come and feed our souls, Moses, with spoken word bread. That's what they should have been saying. Instead of coming and murmuring to Moses. And they murmured to Moses. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And what does Moses do? And he cried unto the Lord. Why didn't they cry to the Lord? What is different in Moses and them? Does it mean none of them could pray? Can you see when you're not prayerful how temptations become serious in your life? Because Moses, the first thing that he thinks when he hits this spot and he doesn't have a solution and it's tough, is to pray. But there weren't many people there that had that same attitude. The rest of the people, when the trial came, it was murmur, complain. That was the first thing that they did. It was natural for them to do that. It showed the spiritual condition they were in, friends. It showed that you can even see the pillar of fire. You can see the pillar of cloud. That doesn't change your heart. We can have all the pictures of the prophet, the pillar of fire, the Hoffman's head of Christ, all over our homes. And then a trial comes and the first thing we do is murmur. Why are we looking at the picture of the pillar of fire? It's easy to do it. We've all done it. Let's not act like we haven't done it, friends. We've all done it. We've all got in those situations where we thought that God wasn't with us anymore. Because we allowed the devil to speak to us at those times. But the good thing about the sons and daughters of God, they know the way to the mercy seat. They know God's provided way of escape. They know how to get themselves into this refuge. They know there's a rock that's higher than themselves in the wilderness. That they can hide themselves in the cleft of the rock like Moses used to hide himself. That's the answer that you need. So it says, and he cried unto the Lord. Look, straight away. The solution wasn't far. The waters were bitter. There was a tree growing right on the banks. There was the answer. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. This is speaking of Calvary, friends. There was another virtuous, powerful, redemptive revelation that God wanted to reveal to them. That's why he brought them to these bitter waters. And they tried to drink the bitter waters, and the Lord in his mind, he had such a perfect solution. He had such a redemptive answer for them. Speaking right to Calvary once again. He's Jehovah. He had the answer. He had the answer, the redemptive answer. It was in his mind. He was just saying, come and seek me for the spoken word bread. I reveal to you the answer at this time. But they weren't wanting to do that or willing to do that or on the condition to do that. There was only Moses that did it. And the moment he cried unto the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. God now saw what was in their hearts. God saw. Because friends, temptation proves what's in your heart. It proves your character. It proves who you really are. When the Lord came that time to Abraham and said, go and sacrifice your son. The Bible says that God did tempt Abraham. He tested him. And how did Abraham overcome? The spoken word bread. All the way to Mount Moriah. You know what he was feeding upon in his soul? The promises of God to him. Through Sarah shall your seed come. Through Isaac shall the promises be. He was feeding on that spoken word bread. That present tense bread God had given him personally. And he knew, this son, maybe I'm going to have to kill him. But the spoken word bread tells me God's going to have to raise him up again. That's why he never murmured or complained. That's why he rose up early in the morning and went and did what Jehovah called him to. Because he had a Shekinah experience in his soul. There was spoken word bread that he was feeding upon. That gave him the overcoming power. Friends, we're all flesh and blood. We can all be overcome if we don't follow this way. We can all grieve God in the wilderness if we don't do these things. We're no different than anybody else. But as a believer, as his bride, the seed is in you. And if you'll just get quiet before God, let the anointing come on the seed, you'll manifest the same as Abraham manifest. In the midst of your trial, you'll be feeding, saying like David, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Father, I'll bless your name. I don't understand this trial, but I know that every trial you make it a blessing. All I've got to keep my soul satisfied is on the spoken word bread. Don't try to manufacture a solution for yourself. Find some substitute to offer instead of Isaac. You don't do those things. Because God knew what he was doing. Abraham knew God had a redemptive thought behind this great thing he was asking him to do. And if Abraham could just overcome sight and feeling and sense and the outward man and just feed on the spoken word bread and hide himself in the secret place of the Most High beneath his wings, and let that fellowship and communion in his soul stay fresh, God is going to bring a blessing. Not only to himself, but all generations to come. And we're still being blessed because of this overcoming of Abraham. I'll read you just to finish what the prophet says. A few quotes about Mara when they came to these waters here. Listen to what he says about us as human beings. What is our normal, our human nature? This is from the Message, Hebrews chapter 4. It's paragraph 28. He's just read Hebrews chapter 3. Let's read it again. It'll be our final scripture. Hebrews 3 verse 15 and verse 16. The prophet's teaching on this particular scripture, which is speaking of Israel in the wilderness. Hebrews 3, 15 and 16. He's speaking about Israel. Verse 15. Let's start from 12 because he's warning. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to exhort while it's called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we were made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Don't just rejoice at the Red Sea and then murmur against God 3 days later. Let's hold our profession to the end, friends. The one who began the good work, he's going to finish it. That's what he said. That's his promise. So he says, verse 16, for some, he's speaking in the wilderness, when they heard the message, did provoke. They provoked God. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. They allowed that unbelief to come. And so the prophet's using that scripture. Then he says, certainly, they got weary. They got tired, friends. Every time they'd get to a place where a showdown come, they'd get weary. Friends, there's many showdowns in your experience. There's many times it leads you to a showdown where there's nothing more you and I can do, but he has to go before. And those are the temptations. Those are the trials. But those are the times of great blessing. Because when he does step down into your situation, how your soul delights itself with marrow and fatness. The prophet says, then what would they do? They would fly loose. They'd just say anything. And get weary and want to turn back and say, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did God, if God loves me, why is this happening inside of my life? Be careful who you're listening to, friend. I wouldn't listen and go too far down that line of thought. It's not going to work out well. Strange thing the prophet says, this morning, after preaching just as hard as I could. So the prophet was preaching about this in the morning service. There was many came to the altar and questioned it. Why does this happen to me? You see how it goes. It goes over the top of the people's heads. So the prophet was preaching in the morning about Israel in the wilderness and about, you know, don't question God and don't do those things. At the end of the service, an altar call. People are coming. I don't know why God's allowed me to go through this. I don't know why God's allowed me to go. The prophet says, but the word just went right over their heads. Friends, let's be careful of that. Let's be careful that God doesn't try to help us and that we just don't accept the virtue and the revelation of what he's trying to help us with. That we don't spend sufficient time fellowshipping with divine revelation until it becomes a part of us. Don't be like them. You know, there's a scripture about temptation when it says, Jesus says, that seed that was sown by the wayside is like the people that hear the word, rejoice for a season, but when the temptation comes, they fall away. You see, you share the word, but you don't allow it to get itself deeply rooted enough. The prophet says that. He says it goes over the top of people's heads. He says, you mustn't question anything to God. That's what the problem is. Don't question God. Don't say, why are you doing this? There's nothing wrong coming the right way and saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, why am I going through this? Lord, I want to do it the right way. Lord, I want to please you in the midst of this trial. Show me the right thing to do. That's good. But don't come and say, Lord, why are you doing this? If you really love me, you wouldn't do this. You're proving God. You're tempting God now. The prophet says you mustn't question anything to God because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And every trial is put upon you to prove you. And the Bible says they're more precious to you than gold. So if God lets a few light afflictions happen to you, remember, it's for the correction of you. Every son that comes to God must first be chastened of God. Tried, child trade, chained. The prophet says, there's no exceptions. You're not an exception. I'm not an exception. Our church isn't an exception. He knows how to chasten us, friends. He knows how to correct us. But all he wants us to do is to keep the right attitude. He says, these afflictions are brought about to see what attitude you'll take. See? It's God on this proving ground. That's all this earth is the proving grounds where he's trying to prove you. But he wants to make the trial a blessing. I'll finish with one quote when he speaks about that. Why did he bring them to the waters of Marah? He says, he went right up to the wilderness with them, to the springs of Marah, bitter water. This is in God's way that's been made for us. He says, isn't it strange that God would, lead his children through bitter waters? But all goes along that road. But when he was there, the remedy for the bitter waters was standing on the bank. And friends, the remedy to your situation, it's within speaking distance of you. It's not far. If you'll just ask him the right way, he will show you whatever it is that's going to turn your bitter experience into sweet waters, into waters of rejoicing, waters that you can rejoice with. It wasn't far away. It's never far away, friends. The solution isn't far. Your solution is right there. God's just proving you. He's just waiting for you to come the right way like Moses did. Then he's going to reveal it to you. The prophet says, the remedy was standing on the bank. Moses cut down a tree, threw it in the water, and it turned sweet again. That's the way God leads his children. God's path, God's provided way. If the children of Israel would have tried to bypass that and go down this way, they'd got in trouble. You see, you can't bypass what God has ordained for you. They had to follow the cloud of fire, the pillar of fire that led them. They followed that. And the prophet says, and if the church tonight will only follow the pillar of fire, you will make Canaan as sure as anything. God has a way, a provided way. Let's just keep following him. He who began the good work, that same pillar of fire that started the experience in your soul, just keep the right attitude. Just keep following him, although it brings you to a Red Sea once in a while, though it brings you to the waters of Marah once in a while, though it brings in the wilderness where there's no bread. He wants to teach you, man shall not live by bread alone. Though he brings you to a situation now that there's no water, he wants to reveal the smitten rock to you. There's always a purpose, friend. Let's give him his position as God. Let's give him his position as our Father. Let's give him his position as our Redeemer, our husband, the one who knows what's best for us. Let's repent of our murmurings, our complainings, the times we've listened and have voiced the opinion of the flesh or the opinion of our fallen spirit. And let's return back into that place behind the veil to hide ourselves under his wings. And let's seek to be like David in our wilderness. Men and women after the heart of God that rejoice, that remember his goodness. They don't quickly forget all the good things and the deliverances of the past when the new trial comes, but that we keep our experience fresh and we keep eating the spoken word bread. Not the bread that you can manufacture, but the bread that God gives to you and to me to overcome in the midst of trial. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship, friends. Let's not tempt the Lord. But let's rather please the Lord. Amen. That's what we desire. Just ask the musicians to come. God will make this trial a blessing, though it brings you to your knees. In that song it says, I just came into a trial, one like I've never been before. I kept searching for a way out. It looked like there were padlocks on the doors. But God will make this trial a blessing, though it brings me to my knees. And that's what God wants it to do. Let's sing that song. Further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Tempted and tried.
Tempted and tried, we oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others though in the wrong. Further along we'll know all about it. Further along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death is coming,
taking our loved ones,
it leaves our home so lonely and living so wicked year after year. Further along we'll know all about it.
Further along
we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother,
live in the sunshine.
We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death,
said
our loving Master.
If you
must taste to labor and wind,
toils of the road will then seem as nothing
as we sweep to the beautiful gate. Further along we'll know all about it. Further along we'll
understand why.
Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from His home in the sky, then we shall meet Him
in that great mansion.
We'll understand it
all by and
by. Further along
we'll know all about it.
Further along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother,
live in the sunshine.
We'll understand it all by and by.
Let's sing that song. I'm thinking of the rapture. Well, you're not thinking of the rapture, friends. But you know, until the rapture, it's going to be one test after another. Because He wants to perfect you and me. He wants to perfect us to complete the work that He's begun in us. We can make it far easier for Him if we just approach Him the right way. If, like the Lord Jesus Christ, you just give it all to Him. Just surrender your future to Him, surrender your will to Him, surrender your ambitions to Him. Friends, His thoughts for you are far better than your own thoughts. His plans that He has for you. If you and I could just see the great plans He has for us, we'd be so willing to forsake our own thoughts. But we've got to do it by faith, one step at a time.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll raise that heavenly autumn in the city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of God when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing over the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels go and listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give all us to prepare the banquet ball when the redeemed are gathering in. Blessed of the Lord when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in,
washed like snow
and free from all sin,
how we'll shout
and how we'll sing gathering in, wash like snow and free from all sin.
I will shout
and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Friends, just a few more days, yeah. What's the song? What does it say there when you're speaking about walking in the footsteps of Elohim? Let's sing that song. Just a few more days. Just a few more days. You can already hear the chariots of our beloved one coming to meet us. Let's not tire as it gets near the end of the race, but let's press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let's sing that one, Deborah. It's a choice.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you. Because of what you decided, that was a prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. What will produce great victory in the love divine? I will walk this path. I will walk this path in the footsteps of there's many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. There is no much time remaining to the walk in this path. We can already hear the chariot coming to lead us. I will walk this path. I will walk this path.
In the footsteps of Elohim,
I wanna get to the end of time.
Saying there, I will walk this path. That's a declaration, friends. And if you've determined today, say, I will walk this path, though it leads me to the waters of Mar, though it leads me in the wilderness. But as long as I'm walking in the footsteps of Elohim, as long as He's going before, as long as He's the one that leads, He's the one that'll take care of the rest. I'll just read you Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2. It says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Let's all call upon his name. Let's claim his promises. Let's go forth in the name of Jesus. Let's all pray. Father, we're coming unto thee once again upon this day, because you've given us grace once again to come, Lord, as your people, to look unto thee and to call upon thy name. Father, you've given unto us grace once again to come, Father, to look unto thee, just with that desire, Father, to sit, Lord, at your feet. Father, Lord, to forsake our thoughts, Lord, to forsake our ways, to forsake, Lord, Father, human understanding, human...
Vyber, Pane môj drahý, všetko, Pane môj drahý, čo je tam vo mne. Pane môj drahý, prosím ťa za môj dom. Pane môj drahý, ó, Pane, potrebujeme Tvoju milosť. Potrebujeme Tvoju, Pane môj drahý, pravicu. Potrebujeme Teba, Pane môj drahý. Halleluja.
A trial. Others, it was a trial to them. You know that John on Patmos was eating the spoken word bread on Patmos. Paul in prison, when he wrote the epistles, he was eating spoken word bread right in the midst of his situation that he was in. That's the key, friends. That makes all the difference. May the Lord's will be done.
In prison is chained with bleeding stripes. Silas prayed at night, and in the pain began to sing. The chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light that turned away. I bless your name, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in the prison, in your mind, reach out and praise. Devised of shame, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the tide that turned away. I bless your name, that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find give you honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the mid of times so hard, reach out
by faith
to heights unknown, and you will find I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. Your name. I bless your name.
Let's bow it. If anybody has a request before the Lord, why don't you raise your hand to the Lord? Just ask Brother Vlad to pray for us.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We are just coming before you once more, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Like word was preached today, O Lord.
May
that become revelation in our lives, O Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
that we can see clearly picture, O Lord.
Amen.
What was said, O Lord.
Amen.
Let that not pass away like children of Israel. They yes, didn't Lord. See it, O Lord.
Amen.
When we are going through temptations, different things, we don't understand. But your song says, O Lord, that we are not alone.
Amen.
O Lord, help us to see it. Wherever we go, Lord, that you are with us always.
Amen.
You promised that you're going to be with us up
Amen.
To end of the world, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You promised that, O Lord.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Us to trust. Help us to see it.
Yes.
When it comes, those waves, whatever it
Amen,
comes, O Lord.
Lord. Yes,
even
Lord.
We have to move maybe from this place, O Lord. But
Hallelujah.
Lord, you open our eyes that we will trust.
Yes,
that we will
Lord.
Trust like children,
Hallelujah.
O Lord. They trust
yes,
to
Lord.
Father
yes,
and Mother,
yes,
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That they will provide. They don't question anything. They know
Amen.
It will be future. Lord, with you is our
yes,
future,
Lord.
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
With you
yes,
is everything what we need, O Lord.
Amen.
Whatever
yes,
we,
Lord.
Will
yes.
come on this world, O Lord. You will provide our way, O Lord.
Amen.
To glory,
Hallelujah.
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord.
Amen.
We just lift our hands before you, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We lift our needs even
yes,
now, O Lord.
Yes,
touch
Lord.
Our needs,
yes,
O Lord.
Yes,
you touch.
Lord.
Because we know by your word, before we open our mouth,
Amen.
O Lord, you will provide
yes.
whatever it is. Maybe sometimes
Hallelujah.
We don't see that answer is coming, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us to be patient.
Yes,
O Lord, forgive when we are not patient, O Lord.
Yes,
when
Lord.
Many hardship comes, O Lord.
Amen.
Forgive us, O Lord. Help us.
Amen.
Take our hands through, O Lord.
Amen.
You lead us,
Amen,
O Lord.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We just commit ourselves into your hands.
Amen,
we are so thankful when we
yes,
just
Lord.
Look back.
Amen.
Like that song says, count your blessings.
Yes,
name
yes,
them
Lord.
One by one,
Hallelujah.
O Lord.
Hallelujah.
O Lord, yes, you provided for us many times.
Amen.
O Lord, just help us to not look like David says, when
Amen.
I look those unrighteous people,
yes, Lord.
It was so close that my feet will be just a side road, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us, because you put us on that road of stone, O Lord. Hallelujah. On your road of revelation, of your road of word of life, O Lord. Amen. Help us just to trust. O Lord, we want to just glorify your name. Amen. Because you provided way always for us. Amen. We are so thankful. We want to bless your name. Even Paul and Silas, they went through hardship, but they glorified your name. And in those hardship, you came on scene. Hallelujah. O Lord, we just commend even our church, our new place of worship, into your hands, O Lord. Because you will provide a way. Something will happen. Hallelujah. Like we came, O Lord, just to move church. It was Friday, and we saw a message that we can stay here, O Lord. Hallelujah. That you will do something in special way, O Lord. Amen. That you will provide a way. Like children of Israel, they came to the sea, O Lord. Hallelujah. There was no way, but you had opened the way, O Lord. Amen. O Lord, we just glorify your name. We want to bless your name, O Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord. O Lord, we commit our families into your hands, our children into your hands. When we see evil age coming, O Lord, evil time, O Lord, but you are the one, you are just watching over us. O Lord, bless us, bless when we go home, that we will just think about these things. You remind us, O Lord, because we see that we are just failing, O Lord. We commit our ways into your hands, with thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you, saints. Let's sing one more as we dismiss. May the Lord be with you until we meet.
Come, your blessing, name them one by one. Come, your blessing, see what God has done. Come, your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When upon life's billows you are tempted and tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one. Will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings.